It's good to see all of you here this morning. God is just so good. And before we dive in this morning, let's just go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your word never returns void. I thank you for just opening up revelations to each one of us here today so that we're changed and we're not the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, next week, I'll be back on the drums. And, you know, earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday night, I came in, I had mowed the lawn, I was doing some stuff, and this sharp pain went down my arm from my elbow down to my fingers, and my fingers just started going real numb. I was like, that's not good, you know, that's what I was thinking. And it was pretty rough. And so the next day I went ahead and made a doctor's appointment. Usually I don't like to go to the doctor, forget that. But I'm thinking, you know what, I need to get this, but I need to do something so I can play drums on something. That's the first thing that comes to my mind always. And he said I had a radial nerve entrapment in this arm from repetition, you know, doing a lot of things with my arm, you know, bent. So when I move my arm all the way out, it pinches the nerve. So I said, all right, well, I won't play drums this week, but I'm going to play drums next week. And he said, it'll be better. I said, you might as well just stop talking. Just don't even worry, you know. But I'll take this week off, but we're going to get this better. We're going to, you know, do some little exercises and stuff, and we're right back in there. That's just the way it is. And, you know, one of the songs we sang, and I'm trying to remember which one right now, but it's Every Victory. Yeah, it's found in you. Every victory is found in Christ. And so I didn't even want to hear really the negative report, you know. So he said, well, this one it'll heal up quick. And he was saying, now you're talking my language. You're talking the way I want you to talk. Because every victory is found in the Lord. And what we say is so very important. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that today. So I want to talk to you about the presence of the Lord. And the most common Hebrew term for presence is translated in the Bible as face. And why that's important is because it implies a close and personal encounter with God. And so the presence of the Lord is something that, just as I am in your presence right now, you are in my presence, we are in close proximity one with another. And that's when the scripture talks about the presence of the Lord, it's talking about a close or a personal encounter. And I have always wanted the presence of the Lord to be strong in my life. Not just on a Sunday or during a service or a small group during the week or a prayer meeting or whatever, or just when I pray, but I want the presence of the Lord to be with me throughout my day and every day. Now, I may feel the presence of the Lord stronger at other times, you know, than some. Like when I'm praying, a lot of times I will feel the presence of the Lord stronger because I'm actually talking to God. I can be in my house with my family, and I'm in their, quote, presence, but if I'm not talking with someone else, they can be on the other side of the room. I'm not talking with my son or my daughter or my wife, and they're on the other side of the room. I'm not really having a close encounter with them, but yet we're all in the same house. So we live in each other's presence. And see, God wants us to live in the presence of the Lord. Even though you may not be talking with him at every moment of every day, that's all right. He wants us to live in the presence of God. And we'll talk about that more as we get into this series. But the first time we see the word presence, you know, that phrase, you know, presence of the Lord, is in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, Adam and Eve were hiding because they had disobeyed God, and they wanted to hide from his presence. You know how like when you were little and mom and dad told you not to get into the cookie jar, but you did it anyways? You made sure that you tried to hide the evidence and you scraped the crumbs. And then when they were investigating the cookie jar, you wanted to make sure that you were nowhere to be found. You know, you wanted to hide yourself, to be somewhere else when they're looking at the cookie jar to see if one might be missing. This is what Adam and Eve were doing. They had disobeyed God, and they realized it. And when they realized it, wait a minute, I'm in the garden, in the house, so to speak. The presence of the Lord is here in this garden, but yet I'm going to hide myself because right now, you know, God's not like right there, you know, talking to me. I'm not talking to him. So if we hide over here, maybe he won't see us. Just maybe. But we see that Adam and Eve couldn't hide, and we know that. But they hid because the presence of the Lord had an effect on them. When they were actually really close, a close encounter, remember the word face, it implies a close encounter. When they had a close encounter, and they weren't on the other side of the garden, and God was over there, when they were with God, like right there, it had an effect on them, a strong effect on them. You know, it's just like if I come into a room in my house and the kids can be doing something, they can be rambunctious or whatever. You know, I come into a room, my presence alone has an effect on what people are doing in the room. It just does. I remember doing youth ministry years ago, and one of my youth leaders, Samuel, he's in the Ukraine now and ministering in the Ukraine, the children's home there, but we were both doing youth, and we decided that we needed to talk about something in a different room, and we were going to plan this thing out, that we were going to come out and do this activity with the youth. And so we just told them, just chill, talk, you know, fellowship, those kind of things. So we're in the other room. We were only going to be in there 5-7 minutes. And as we were in that room, we heard the noise just start getting louder and louder and louder. Now, look, there's only, you know, about 9 or 10 in the room in there, okay? We had a smaller youth group that night, so we had 9 or 10 teenagers in there, but it was getting louder and louder and louder. And it was like getting so loud, and we're over in the, we thought, we just better get out there, even though we weren't finished. I opened the door and came around, I looked around, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, there was a chair turned, somebody was standing on the chair, there was a trash can, I remember, moved, and there were wads of paper, and there was hooping and hollering. I mean, there was just all of these things going on, and I really, honestly, to this day, I do not know what they were doing. I just know as I walked in, and as everybody saw me as I was walking in, everything changed. It just started getting quiet. My presence had an effect in the room. And the presence of the Lord has an effect on us when we experience the presence of the Lord, which is why it's imperative that we do. And when we seek the presence of the Lord and it has that effect, it does something. And the main function and the function that we see here in Genesis from the very beginning, the function, the presence of the Lord, the very first thing it was, it exposes sin. It's what it does. It exposes sin. That was the first function of the presence of the Lord that we see in Genesis. Now, why is that important? Because when we experience that presence of the Lord, it exposes things in our life that we probably need to change, things that we need to do to get closer to the Lord. It says in the scripture, just like we were saying just before worship, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So the presence of the Lord is something that we should embrace. Because it brings us joy. As it does a work on us, it brings us joy. It liberates. The presence of the Lord literally liberates you, which is why it's so awesome to live in the presence of the Lord. But for the joy to happen, for the joy to come, you have to allow the presence of the Lord to expose those things in your life that need to be changed so that as that change happens, it's amazing when you decide to change something in your life, how liberating it is, how much joy that it brings, and you just feel better because you made a change. Now, something here. We know that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. But just because Adam and Eve sinned didn't mean that they could not experience the presence of the Lord after that. After that sin, it did not mean that they couldn't experience the presence of the Lord. Because after that sin, they still did. Let me give you an example. In Genesis, verse 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So we see that Cain, after man had fallen, man had sinned. And because I'm saying this is because there are fringe groups in Christianity that believe because man sinned that we cannot experience the presence of the Lord at all. But that's not true. We know that we can experience the presence of the Lord. Now Cain, he had to leave the presence of the Lord. Why? Because of his sin. But see, before that, just because his parents sinned didn't mean that he couldn't experience the presence of the Lord. So we can still experience the presence of the Lord. And then we get to experience the presence of the Lord in way greater measure than what those who lived in the Old Testament did because of the Holy Spirit, that we are the temple of God. We're going to talk about that as well. But why is it important, again, to seek God's presence? The Bible tells us very clearly that it's one of the most important things to God is seeking his presence. In Psalms 53, verse 2, it says, God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who understands, who seeks after God. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This is one of my favorite verses because of the word rewarder. As we seek him, we get rewarded. Hence, the other scripture we said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Joy is one of the rewards of the presence of the Lord. As we seek him, as the presence of the Lord fills our life, joy is a reward. Now, do we seek God for a reward? No, we seek God because we love him. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We know that we are to love him with everything that we have. And we seek him just because of that. I don't spend time with my wife so that she can, you know, reward me in some way or fashion. I'm not seeking to get something out of her. I spend time with her just because I love her. That's it. There's no other reason. Not because I'm wanting to get something out. Now, we play around a little bit, and sometimes I go and, honey, you know, and give her the little sweet talk. She's like, what do you want? You know, you've probably been there. You've done that. But primarily, when I spend time with my wife, it's just because I love her. I get rewarded when I do that, though. Anyways, it's a byproduct of my love, my seeking after her, to spend time with her. The rewards is a byproduct of you seeking God. You seeking the presence of the Lord, you have a byproduct. And it's called rewards. And there are many rewards to seeking after God. And you know, look, if that's what it takes for you to seek the God in the beginning, is you got your mind on the rewards, fine. Eventually, maybe it'll get around to the love. God wants you to seek him. He wants me to seek him. It's important. Draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to us. The focus this morning in this message with the presence of the Lord is that main function. The first function that we see in Genesis, which was to expose those things, to expose sin. And so what I want to talk to you about is the two kingdoms. The two kingdoms. And when we understand the two kingdoms, then we will live in the presence of God. If we can follow after and be in the kingdom of God, we will live. We're living after him. We will actually live in the presence of God. I've got a little slideshow thing. I'm going to switch the computer here. See if I can get this pulled up. Oh, good. It's already set. Let's see if we can get this white. Ooh, excellent. How many loves it when technology works? Oh, I do too. These things are the greatest blessings, but also the greatest curse ever. Because when it works for you, then it's the blessing. When it doesn't work, it's a curse. And when it wastes your time, how many know what I'm talking about there? Then it's a curse. We've got to understand the two kingdoms. The first kingdom that we have is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And everything in the kingdom of God is positive. Now, years ago, I looked at a demonstration like this from Edwin Lewis Cole in Maximize Manhood, and he began to write on a board, and he would scribble, and after a while, you couldn't read anything he was writing. I thought it better to do this, and plus, if I was writing on a board, I don't know that those in the back would be able to see this. I hope you can see this here this morning. But I've changed it up a little bit from what he was doing because we're talking about the presence of the Lord. And so as we go through this, you'll be able to see how that being in the kingdom of God is the only place to be. It is the only place to be, in my opinion. Now, God, in his kingdom, everything is positive. Everything he builds is on a positive. And then we have the kingdom of Satan. And in his kingdom, everything is negative. There's nothing good in the kingdom of Satan. Nothing. In the kingdom of God, everything's positive. In the kingdom of Satan, everything is negative. So in the kingdom of Satan, most things are opposite of what's in the kingdom of God. Now, when Adam was created by God, he put all the principles of the kingdom in Adam. All the principles of the kingdom in Adam. And he also gave Adam dominion over the earth. So he gave him a measure of authority, which was the earth. And he said, take, subdue the earth. You have dominion over the earth. Adam was the one who named all the animals. I don't know if I could have done that. Some of them I'm sure were easy, like when the fly, you know, that's an easy one. But some of the animals, I don't know how he named all those. I don't know that I would have been able to do that. But see, then Adam sinned. And remember, we read already in Adam and Eve, and they hid themselves in the garden. Now, what is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. But more specifically, it's the denial of God's right of possession. One more time. Sin is the denial of God's right of possession. We are his children. How many know we serve a jealous God? So we're denying when sin, Adam, what he was doing was denying God's right of possession. And because of that, and Satan is the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he stole from Adam that dominion, that authority from Adam. So the authority then rests with Satan, the prince of the power of the air, all that stuff we read. But then something happened, and it was the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, who came to the cross. And because of his work on the cross, that authority, that dominion came back to man, came back to you and I. See, remember in the Old Testament, as you look and you read and you go along, you'll see that the authority and the dominion that men had in the earth was severely diminished. They didn't have it. And so it was up to God to intervene in the earth. And so they had to bring sacrifices to God. They had to beseech God and cry out to God. But see, we have authority and dominion in this earth now because we are the temple of the living God. So wherever I walk, I have authority because Jesus is the head and we are his body and all things are under our feet. So everywhere I go, I have the authority of God with me. I carry that. You are a carrier of the authority of God that he has given you. See, in the Old Testament, you go down the line, Moses, Joshua, this and that. Authority wasn't just given to them like it was to us. See, we have the Holy Spirit. He sent the Comforter. And so because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're the temple of God, we carry that power and that authority on this earth with us. They had to beseech and go before God. Me, I've been given an authority in Jesus' name as his body to just point at the situation and just speak it, and it's to be done. Amen. That's good news. That's good news for me. I like having that authority. I like having that power. Now, what are my weapons? They're the principles that are the Word of God, which is the Word of God. See, everything in the kingdom of God is built on the principles that are in His Word. The principles that we see, that we can look, and that we can use, those are also our weapons. There are many scriptures that we take and we use and we can quote and we can pray and we can stand on those principles, because everything that God does in His kingdom builds on a positive, and His principles are positive. They're for your benefit. They're for my benefit. The principles that are in the Word of God are not designed to hurt you. They're designed to help you. They are for our benefit because we are His children and He loves us, and He wants every step that we take to be ordered of Him, and that way we are walking in that authority and that power on His Word, and we can pull it out at any time. Amen? Now see, in the kingdom of Satan, there is no principles. Look, this is why the kingdom of God's the only kingdom, man. I mean, that's the only kingdom you want to choose. That's the only kingdom you want to be in. In that kingdom, the presence of the Lord presides. In that kingdom, you can experience an anointing and a power that it is impossible to experience in Satan's kingdom. No matter what his lies are, no matter what his tricks are, no matter what he tries to say and how he presents his kingdom as so wonderful and, oh, come over here to my kingdom. Oh no, God's the kingdom that rules this earth. He is the one that's in charge. It's not Satan. Amen. I get fired up sometimes with this. Now, because Satan's kingdom, there's no principles in his kingdom, there's no peace. And God's kingdom is peace. And we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And see, Satan hates that. He hates that there's this peace and people can enjoy life that are living in the kingdom of God. He hates that. And so he tries to pervert everything that's in the kingdom of God, and he wants to pervert that peace. If you are out of peace, listen to me, church, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. If you're out of peace, it's a strong indicator that you've swayed from the kingdom of God over into the kingdom of Satan at that time. And you need to sway back over into the kingdom of God where peace is. That doesn't mean that I've got peace. I've got issues. There's things going on. There's things going on in my body. There's things going on in issues, other things. I don't even want to talk about them. I don't even want to give them credence. I don't even want to talk about it. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be stuff going on. I have peace anyways, despite the storm. Now, I got a little discouraged earlier this week with my arm and this and that. And my wife, I mean, she does it. I mean, this is why we need each other. This is why we need each other. She said, hey, it's time to believe. We got to believe, you know? I mean, she's using words like that. I don't even remember what all she said, but it was good. I had no sense talking like, she goes, why are you talking like that? Yeah. See, we remind each other. Amen. It's a good thing. I got to get back. Wait a minute, I'm getting over here. I need to come back over here in the kingdom of God. I need to get in the right, well, for you, it's opposite. So let me go this way. Yeah, I need to get back over here. I'm looking at my screen. Kingdom of God's on this side on my screen, but on y'all's screen, it's this way. Okay. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is Lord. Yes. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is Lord. And if you are saved, that means Jesus is Lord over your heart. But see, in the kingdom of God, Satan, he hates that. And he wants you to be on the throne of your own heart. He wants self on the throne. It's not himself. He doesn't care. Now, oh yeah, you got the Satan worshipers and that Satan's their Lord or whatever and all that. But in general, he doesn't care if you deny him the spot on the throne, just as long as you got yourself there. Either one works for him. Because if you're living for yourself, you're not living for the King of Kings. So he doesn't care. And now, in the kingdom of God is built on a principle of pleasure. You say, well, TJ, what do you mean pleasure? Yes. Pleasure, but what kind of pleasure? It's the pleasure of pleasing Jesus. We bring pleasure to our God, our King. Look, it brings pleasure to me when I see my children in my house doing the things that I've taught them to do, and I didn't have to tell them to do it. They just start doing it, and they're doing it. Why? Because they want to please me. And as children of God, we should always want to please the Father. We want to please Jesus in everything that we do. And God, and see, that makes me happy, pleasing Him. And God rewards me and brings me pleasure. Pleasure is not a bad word, church. It's just, what kind of pleasure are we talking about? Amen? But see, in the kingdom of Satan, he wants you to please yourself. He wants you to be all about me, 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 I. That's what he's all about. But see, we can't build our lives on ourselves. We have to build ourselves on the rock. See, in the kingdom of God, remember, the wise man built his house on the rock. See, the rock is positive. Remember, God, in God's kingdom, everything is built on a positive, which is the rock, Jesus Christ. In the kingdom of Satan is sand. This is why we need wisdom. Everything in the kingdom of God's positive. Everything in the kingdom of Satan is negative. We need to build our lives on the rock using the word of God. This is why when we come to the foot of the cross, we have to get converted. We come to Jesus Christ. When we come to the cross, everything's got to be converted. All the things we used to do in the past, we've got to lay that down and pick up the word of God and follow his principles. Everything's got to be converted of ourselves, our mind, will, and emotions, all of it, every bit of it, to line up with the word of God. We do that, church, by confession. This is where the words of our mouth are so, so important. You know how some people would come in, and you've done this probably, I used to do it, I've done it before. Oh, Lord, forgive me of this. Forgive me, God. I'm so sorry. Oh, forgive me, Lord. You know, and just do all this boo-hooing and crying. And I say, Lord, I just deny this thing. I know you've already forgiven my sins, but, you know, past, present, and future, that's what your word says. But, you know, I'm going to turn from this. I repent from this sin. I deny that. You know, I just cast that out in Jesus' name. And then we go, and that's it. We do a lot of casting out. But see, if you're going to convert your mind, will, and emotions, you've got to confess out and then confess something else in. You've got to confess out the unrighteousness and confess in the righteousness, because now you are, once you receive Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. See, that's what the word says. So say, I am righteous. Come on, church, say, I am righteous. That's the truth. Now, see, that's hard. It's hard sometimes to get that off the tip of your tongue. But see, when you've messed up, whether it's adultery, fornication, lying, this and that, all these sins, blah, 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 you know, remember, it's just the denial of God's right of possession. You say, okay, I deny that now. I'm going to put that down. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to do these things anymore. Then you need to confess, because I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I accept Jesus as my Lord. He's on the throne of my heart. And now every time I take a step, he's the head. I'm the body. Everything's under my feet. That thing has no more place in my life, because I'm lining myself up now with the kingdom of God. I'm no longer in the kingdom of Satan. I deny that now, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and I confess him. I confess out and I confess in. That's the key. See, the key to victory, confess out, confess in. Look, remember the scripture. God inhabits the what? The praises. Look, church, he doesn't inhabit the complaints. Look, this is why our words, everything's got to be converted. He doesn't inhabit that. He's not with that. If you're complaining, the presence of the Lord's not there. He can't inhabit what's on the kingdom of Satan. He can't touch that. He only inhabits the praises, because he builds on a positive. That's why praise is positive, and we speak praise to him. What's praise? It's what's positive. We're speaking what's... Hey, look, I was speaking negative. My wife's like, what you saying? Why are you saying that? What are you doing? I've got to confess that out and confess something else in. That's when the joy of the Lord comes and comes in. Church, this is where characteristics come into play. What's our character? See, in the kingdom of God, there's many characteristics, but there's also characteristics of the kingdom of Satan. all of the characteristics in the kingdom of God emanate from the character of the king. All of the characteristics in the kingdom of God emanate from the character of the king. And that's what we're to confess. That's what we're to convert. Well, what is the character of the king? Just a few of them here. God is light. Scripture says God is light, and in him is no darkness. There is no darkness. So God is light. He's holy. That means he's consecrated. That means he's pure. He is the truth. Remember, the scripture says that he is the truth. He is the life. He is obedience. He is love. God is love. See, these are the things we're to confess. We're to confess out the opposite. What's in the kingdom of Satan? See, everything in the kingdom of Satan is perverted. He hates what's in the kingdom of God, so he wants to pervert it. So he sees the character of God, and he says, God's light. So you know what? I'm going to make things that are dark, darkness. Look, what's darkness? There's all kinds of sin and things that fall under darkness. Sins of adultery, lie, all these things, stealing, you name it, fornication. It's all darkness. It's sin. These are the things that Satan does that are the opposite of what's in God's character. Why? Because he wants to pervert it. In the kingdom of Satan is death. It's disobedience. It's lust. He wants you to continue to serve yourself because lust desires to get at the expense of other people. Love desires to give at the expense of yourself. And it's always better to give than to receive. We're to deny ourselves, take up our cross. Notice what's in the middle of this thing is the cross. We deny ourselves, take up our cross, and we follow Christ. And when we do that, there's fullness of joy. When we do that, just like Hebrews said, we're rewarded. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. Church, if you want to live in the presence of God, you've got to be in the kingdom of God. You've got to live in that kingdom. You've got to walk on a daily basis on the kingdom of God, which everything emanates from the character of the king. Amen? Was this good, church? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision, and he stood before God, and God's presence and his glory began to come in. We're going to talk about the glory. We don't have time this morning. We're going to talk about glory and what the difference between just, you know, the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. There is a difference. But that presence of God that Isaiah experienced in the vision, it shot right through his very being to the point where he said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. With the main function of the presence of God, the number one function, the first function that we see that began in the garden, the presence of the Lord exposes you for who you are. It shows you how unworthy you are in comparison to the King of Kings. Now, what does God, the presence of the Lord, do? It causes us to change ourselves to the point where we can walk and we can smile. It's not to depress us. It's not to discourage us. It's so that we can have the joy of the Lord. We can confess out the things that are hindering us, that are hindering our lives, that are causing us to have the frown, and we can turn that frown upside down and make a smile, and we can walk, and it's just a different walk. It's different. It's a walk that I much prefer over the kingdom of Satan, that walk. Let's all stand this morning. This morning I want us to pray. And church, we're praying for an increase of the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to pray for an increase of the presence of the Lord in your life as well. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. As you go throughout your week, the way to increase in the presence of the Lord is to confess out and then confess in. So that you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. To experience that presence of the Lord, you've got to seek him. You've got to say, draw nigh unto me, is what the scripture says, and he'll draw nigh unto you. You draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh to you. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. We seek him in prayer and reading the word, his principles. And as we pray and as we stand on his principles, those things that are in us, that the Holy Spirit pricks in our heart that needs to change, we begin to work on those, confess those out, and confess in the character of the King. This is why when many have been hurt, rejected, and they're hurting on the inside, I ask the Lord, when I pray for them, they want prayer, Lord, heal up the hurt and replace that hurt with your love. Replace that. You've probably heard me pray that before. Because when you confess out, you leave a hole, and that hole's got to be filled. You leave a void, and it's got to be filled. Remember, in Genesis, the earth was void without form. But then what happened? God spoke. Light didn't come until he spoke. Every void in your life, you speak to fill the void. You speak it to fill it. You literally have creative power with your words in the same way that God created and had that creative power by his words. And the void and that which was with no form began to take shape. And now we have the beautiful creation that we have. This morning, let's pray. Increases the presence of the Lord, and as it does, and exposes those things, and maybe you already know, you can see you're like, I need to change this, this, and this. Maybe you're just too negative a person, and you haven't been talking right, and you need to start speaking the positive over your life. Let's start this morning. Amen, church? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. In your presence, you said, is fullness of joy. Lord, you said you're a rewarder of those who seek you, diligently seek you. So this week, Father, as we leave from here, I thank you, Lord, that you would prick our hearts to diligently seek you so that we would have an increase of your presence. I thank you for an increase in your presence in my life, in those here that have their hands raised that are praying right now. I thank you for an increase across this room of the presence of the Lord. And right now, and just confess it out, whatever it is in your life that you know that needs to be confessed out, confess it out and then confess in. Lord, we confess out frustration, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. We confess out all of these things. We confess in life. Lord, your light right now, your truth, your love. We confess that in right now. I thank you for replacing every hurt, every sin right now with your love. Your love covers. Your word says that your love covers a multitude of sins. And so I thank you, Lord, that your arm's not too short to cover each and every one of us when we've messed up, when we've made a mistake. Well, there's no condemnation in you. Lord, I thank you that you're the head, we are your body, and all these things are under our feet, and we just do that now. We put those things that are not pleasing to you under our feet, and we confess in your character, Lord, your principles, and we stand on your word right now, because we know that the characteristics of your kingdom emanate from your character, and Lord, we're just interested in you. We're interested in being in the kingdom of God, and walking in the kingdom of God, having victory in the kingdom of God, victory in our life, victory in our family, victory in our job right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in our marriage right now, we confess the positive in our marriage right now. We confess the positive in our children right now, in our family relationships. Lord, wherever we step, we're confessing the positive right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? God is good. Yes, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I hope this was good for you. This week, as you go from here, remember to confess out and confess in. Confess out, confess in, seeking the presence of God on a daily basis.